Willkommen bei der ersten RFC-Lesung. Ich denke, wir fangen mal an mit einem recht alten RFC, mit dem RFC 1121. Act 1, the poems. We have gathered here for 2 days to examine and debate and reflect on data networks and as well to celebrate, to recognize the leaders and recount the path we took. We will begin with how it happened, for it's time to take a look. Yes, the history is legend and the pioneers are here. Listen to the story. It's our job to make it clear. We will tell you where we are now and where we will likely go. So welcome to Act One, folks. Sit back. Enjoy the show. Man merkt schon, ein paar RFCs haben Gedichte intern, ein paar fangen sehr interessant an. Ich denke, wir fangen mit einem wunderschönen RFC an von Nanook. Nicht selber geschrieben, aber... Und zwar, ich übergebe an Nanook und sein RFC 826, an Ethernet Address Resolution Protocol.
Gibt es ein RFC für? Echt jetzt so? Okay. Ich sehe ja schon so aus wie ein Idiot, aber jetzt? Ist das der RFC? Ja, ja. Der Titel von diesem RFC ist An Ethernet Address Resolution Protocol or Converting Network Protocol Addresses. Ich glaube, es geht ums ARP. The world is a jungle in general and the network game contributes many animals at nearly every layer of a network architecture. There are several potential protocols that could be used. For example, at a high level, there is Telnet and SubDub for remote login. Somewhere below that, there is a reliable byte stream protocol, which might be Chaos protocol. DOP, TCP, Xerox PCP, or DECnet. Even closer to the hardware is the logical transport layer, which might be the logical transport layer. The 10-Mbit Ethernet allows all of these protocols and more to coexist on a single cable by means of a type field in the Ethernet packet header. Amazing. However, the 10-Mbit Ethernet requires 48-bit addresses on the physical cable, yet most protocol addresses are not 48 bits long, nor do they necessarily have any relationship to the 48-bit Ethernet address of the hardware. For example, Chaos addresses are 16 bits. DoD internet addresses are 32 bits. And Xerox PUP addresses are 8 bits. A protocol is needed to dynamically distribute the correspondences between protocol address pair and a 48-bit Ethernet address. It is necessary. Jetzt geht die Erklärung weiter. Ich glaube, ich habe die wichtigste Sache korrekt vorgetragen. Vielen lieben Dank. Und ich gebe zurück an Nui.
Dankeschön. Selber gucken. denke, jeder hat sich schon mal Gedanken drüber gemacht, wie man eigentlich Hosts benennt. Das kennt ihr sich auch, ihr sitzt vor einem Rechner und habt keine Ahnung, wie ihr eigentlich einen Rechner benennen sollt. Es gibt ein RFC, 2100, 2100, namens The Naming of Hosts. The Naming of Hosts is a difficult matter. It isn't just one of your holiday games. You may think at first I'm as mad as a hatter when I tell you a host must have three different names. First of all, there's the name that the users use daily, such as Venus, Athena, and Cisco, and Amos, such as Titan, or Sirius, Hobbes, or Europe, all of them sensible, everyday names. There are fancier names if you think they sound sweeter, some for the web pages, some for the flames, such as Mercury, Phoenix, Orion, and Charon, but all of them sensible, everyday names. But I tell you, a host needs a name that's particular, a name that's peculiar and more dignified. Else, how can it keep its home page perpendicular and spread out its data and pages worldwide? Of names of this kind, I can give you a quorum, like Lothlorien, Porthole, or Kobayashi Maru, such as Pearly Gates, Dr. Vatican, or else diplomatic names that never belong to more than one host. But above and beyond, there's still one name left over, and that is the name that you will never guess. The name that no human research can discover, but the name server knows and will usually confess. When you notice a client and rapt meditation, the reason I tell you is always the same. The code is engaged in a deep consultation on the address of its name. Ineffable, effable, if ineffable, a deep, inscrutable, singular name. Thank you. Mike? The 12 networking truths? Du hast Halsschmerzen, okay. Dann vielleicht nicht so gut. Das ist, ja. Oder Nanook? The 12 days of technology before Christmas als Team? Ja, genau. Ich nehme das Mikro gleich runter. Ich muss nur das RFC suchen. RFC 1882. Yeah. The 12 days of technology before Christmas. On the first day of Christmas, technology gave to me a database with a broken bee tree.
What the hell is a broken bee tree anyway?
On the second day of Christmas, technology gave to me two transceivers failures.
CRC errors? Collisions? What is going on? And a database with a broken... Oh, took him to something.
And a database with a broken bee tree.
Rebuild. What? It's a 10 gigabyte database. On the third day of Christmas, technology gave to me
three French users.
Who, of course, think they know everything.
Two transceiver failures.
Which are now spewing packages all over the net.
And a database with a broken bee tree.
Backup? What backup? On the fourth day of Christmas, technology gave to me
four calls for support.
Playing the same Christmas song over and over.
Three French users.
Why do they think they like to argue so much over trivial things?
Two transceiver failures.
How the hell do I know which ones they are?
And a database with a broken bee tree.
Pointer error. What's a pointer error? On the fifth day of Christmas, technology gave to me
5 golden SCSI contacts.
Of course, they're better than silver.
4 support calls.
Ever notice how time stands still when on hold?
3 French users.
No, we don't have FUD pedals on PCs. Why do you ask?
2 transceiver failures.
If I knew which ones were bad, I wouldn't know which ones to fix.
And a database with a broken B-tree.
Not till next week? Are they just nuts?
On the 6th day of Christmas, technology gave to me 6 games A-playing.
On the production network, of course.
5 golden SCSI contacts.
What do you mean, not terminated?
4 support calls.
No, don't transfer me again. Do you hear? Damn it!
3 French users.
No, you cannot scan in by putting the page on the screen.
2 transceiver failures.
I can't look at the LEDs. They're in the ceiling.
And a database with a broken B-tree.
No way? That's where this was written?
On the 7th day of Christmas, technology gave to me 7 license failures.
Expired? When?
6 games A-playing.
Please stop tying up the PBX to talk to each other.
5 golden SCSI contacts.
What do you mean I need wide SCSI?
4 support calls.
At least the Muzak is different this time.
3 French users.
Well, monsieur, they really... most. There really isn't any key, but...
2 transceiver failures.
SQE? What is that? If I knew, I would set it myself.
And a database with a broken B-tree.
No, I really need to talk to Lars now.
On the 8th day of Christmas, technology gave to me 8 modem dialings.
Who bought these? They're security violation.
7 license failures.
How many weeks to get a license?
6 games A-playing.
What do you mean, 1 pixel per packet on updates?
5 golden SCSI contacts.
Fast SCSI? It's supposed to be fast, isn't it?
4 support calls.
I already told them that. Don't transfer me back. Damn it.
3 French users.
No. Control-Alt-Delete is not the proper way to end a program.
2 transceiver failures.
What do you mean, bobbling transceiver?
And the database with a broken B-tree.
Does anyone speak English in Oslo?
On the ninth day of Christmas, technology gave to me 9 lady executives with attitude.
She said, do what with the servers?
8 modem dialings.
You've been downloading what?
7 license failures.
We set the PO 2 months ago.
6 games A-playing.
How many people are doing this to the network?
5 golden SCSI contacts.
What do you mean, to have the same ID?
4 support calls.
No, I am not at the console. I tried that already.
3 French users.
No, only 1 floppy fits at a time. Why do you ask?
2 transceiver failures.
Spare? What spare?
And a database with a broken B-tree.
No, I am trying to find Lars. L-A-R-S. On the tenth day of Christmas, technology gave to me...
10 SNMP alerts flashing.
What is that god-awful beeping?
9 lady executives with attitude.
No, it used to be a man's room. Why?
8 modem stylings.
What internet provider? We don't allow internet here.
7 license failures.
SPA? Why are they calling us?
6 games A-playing.
No, you don't need a graphics accelerator for Lotus.
5 golden SCSI contacts.
You mean I need another cable?
4 support calls.
No, I never needed an account number before.
3 French users.
When the PC sounds like a cat. It's a head crash.
2 transceiver failures.
Power connection. What power connection?
And a database with a broken B-tree.
We store what index pointers?
On the 11th day of Christmas, technology gave to me 11 boards are frying.
What is that terrible smell?
10 SNMP alerts flashing.
What's MIB anyway? What's an extension?
9 lady executives with attitude.
Mauve? Our computer room tiles are in mauve?
8 modem dialings.
What do you mean you let your roommate dial in?
7 license failures.
How many other illegal copies do we have?
6 games A playing.
I told you, after hours.
5 golden SCSI contacts.
If I knew what was wrong, I would be calling.
4 support calls.
Put me on hold again and I will slash your credit rating.
3 French users.
Don't hang your floppies with a magnet again.
2 transceiver failures.
How should I know if the connector is bad?
And a database with the broken B-tree.
I already did that, all of that. On the 12th day of Christmas, technology gave to me
12 virtual pipe connections.
There's only supposed to be 2.
11 boards are frying.
What is search suppressor supposed to do anyway?
10 SNMP alerts flashing.
From a distance, it does kind of look like Xmas lights.
9 lady executives with attitude.
What do you mean aerobics before backups?
8 modem stylings.
No, we never used them to connect during business hours.
7 license failures.
We're all going to jail, I just know it.
6 games A playing.
No, my turn!
5 golden SCSI contacts.
Great, just great. Now it won't even boot!
4 support calls.
I don't have that package. How did I end up with you?
3 French users.
I don't care if it is sexy. No more root screen backgrounds.
2 transceiver failures.
Maybe we should switch to Token Ring.
And a database with the broken B-tree.
No, operator. Oslo. Norway. We were just talking and we were cut off.
Security considerations. Security issues are not discussed in this memo. Hat irgendjemand noch ein cooles RFC? Ich habe noch ganz viele Gedichte in RFCs, aber wenn jemand anderes vorlesen mag, gerne. The 12 Networking Truths. Dann MK0 mit The 12 Networking Truths, RFC 1925.
Introduction. This request for comments, RFC, provides information about the fundamental truths underlying all networking. These truths apply to all networking in general and are not limited to TCP, the internet, or any other subset of the networking community. One, it has to work. Two, no matter how hard you push, and no matter what the priority, you can't increase the speed of light. 2a, corollary, no matter how hard you try, you can't make a baby in much less than 9 months. Trying to speed up this might make it slower, but it won't make it happen any quicker. 3, with sufficient thrust, pigs fly just fine. However, this is not necessarily a good idea. It is hard to be sure where they are going to land, and it could be dangerous sitting under them as they fly overhead. 4. Some things in life can never be fully appreciated nor understood unless experienced firsthand. Some things in networking can never be fully understood by someone who neither builds commercial networking equipment nor runs an operational network. 5. It is always possible to agglutinate multiple separate problems into a single complex interdependent solution. In most cases, this is a bad idea. 6. It is easier to move a problem around, for example, by moving the problem to a different part of the overall network architecture, than it is to solve it. 6a, corollary, it is always possible to add another level of indirection. 7. It is always something. 7a, corollary. Good, fast, cheap. Pick any two, you can't have all three. 8. It is more complicated than you think. 9. For all resources, whatever it is, you need more. 9a, corollary. Every networking problem always takes longer to solve than it seems like it should. 10. One size never fits all. 11. Every old idea will be proposed again with a different name and a different presentation, regardless of whether it works. 11a, corollary, C rule 6a. It's possible to add another layer of indirection. 12. In protocol design, perfection has been reached, not when there is nothing left to add, but when there is nothing left to take away. Das war's.
Nachdem alles so aus dem ARPANET entstanden ist, es wurde zum ARPANET eben RFC 1121 verfasst, Act 1, the Poems. Da wurden alle Poems, Gedichte zusammengefasst, die auf dieser Konferenz zur Feier des 20-jährigen ARPANETs verfasst wurden, wurden dort gesammelt. Und ich dachte mir, man sollte doch ehren, dass alles irgendwie begonnen hat. Also ein Gedicht von diesem RFC, The Big Bang, or The Birth of the ARPANET. It was back in 67 that the clan agreed to meet. The gangsters and the planners were breed-damned hard to beat. The goal we set was honest, and the need was clear to all. Connect those big old mainframes and the mini, lest they fall. The spec was set quite rigid. It must work without a hitch. It should stand a single failure with an unattended switch. Files at hefty throughput cross the ARPANET must zip. Send the interactive traffic on a quarter second trip. The spec went out to bidders, and 'twas BBN that won. They worked on soft and hardware, and they all got paid for fun. We decided that the first node would be we who are your hosts. And so today you are gathered here while Eucla boasts. I suspect you might be asking what means first node on the net. Well, frankly, it meant trouble. Especially since no specs were set. For you see, the interface between the NESC and IMP and host was a confidential secret from us folks on the West Coast. BBN had promised that the IMP was running late, where we welcomed any slippage in the deadly scheduled date. But one day after Labor Day, it was plopped down at our gate. Those dirty, rotten scoundrels set the damn thing out air freight. As I recall that Tuesday, it makes me want to cry. Everybody's brother came to blame the other guy. Folks were there from ARPA, GTE, and Honeywell. UCLA and ATT and all were scared to hell. We cautiously connected and the bits began to flow. The pieces really functioned. Just why, I still don't know. Messages were moving pretty well by Wednesday morn. All the rest is history. Packet switching had been born. Hat noch jemand lustige, schöne Gedichte, RFC-Gedichte? Schöne RFCs? So aus dem Kopf raus? Ihr kennt die doch alle auswendig. 6325, ich kann schon lesen, das ist nicht das Problem. Das ist ein bisschen... 6325, Abschnitt all... warte mal, 6325 ist Routing Bridges Base Protocol Specifications. Ja, ja, das passt. Und davon lese ich dann Abschnitt 1.1. Algorime, Version 2. I hope that we shall one day see a graph more lovely than a tree. A graph to boost efficiency while still configuration free. A network with our bridges can route packets to the net, to their target LAN. The paths they find to our elation are at least cost paths to destination. With packet hop counts, we now see the network need not be loop free. Our bridges work transparently without a common spanning tree. Noch ein schönes RFC, das 968, auch schon etwas älter, vom Dezember 1985. Status RFC heißt "Twas the night before startup". This memo discusses problems that arises and debugging techniques used in bringing a new network into operation. Distribution of this memo is unlimited. Discussion. Was the night before startup, and all through the net, not a packet was moving, no bit nor octet. The engineers rattled their cards in despair, hoping a bad chip would blow with a flare. The salesmen were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of data nets danced in their heads. And I, with my data scopes, tracings, and dumps, prepared for some pretty bad bruises and bumps. When out in the hall there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my desk to see what was the matter. There stood at the threshold with PC in tow, an ARPANET hacker, all ready to go. I could see from the creases that covered his brow, he'd conquered the crisis confronting him now. More rapid than eagles, he checked each alarm and scrutinized each for his potential harm. On LAPB, on OZ and X22, TCP, SNA and V32. His eyes were afire with the strength of his gaze. No bug could hide long, not for hours or days. A wink of his eye and the twitch of his head soon gave me to know I had little to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work. Fixing a net that had gone plump berserk, and laying a finger on one suspect line, he entered a patch and the net came up fine. The packets flowed neatly and protocols matched. The hosts interfaced and shift registers latched. He tested the system from gateway to pad. Not one bit was dropped, no checksum was bad. At last, he was finished and wearily sighed. And turned to explain why the system had died. I twisted my fingers and counted to 10, and off by one index had done it again. Können gleich weitermachen mit einem noch älteren RFC. Vom 22.06.73, RFC 527, ARPA Wookie. Es gibt schon coole Dinge. Hat noch nicht mal die RFC-Form mehr. It was brillig, and the protocols did user-server in the wave. All mimsy was the FTP and the RGA outgrape. Beware the ARPANET, my son. The bits that bite. the heads that scratch. Beware the MCP and shun the frumjus system patch. He took his coding pad in hand. Long time the echoplex he sought. When his host to imp began to limp, he stood a while and thought. And while he stood in offish thought, the ARPANET with impish bend sent packets through conditioned lines and checked them as they went. 1, 2, 1, 2, and through and through. The imp to imp went ACK and NAC. When the RFNM came, he said, "I'm game," and sent the answer back. "Then hast thou joined the ARPANET? Oh, come to me, my bankrupt boy. Quick, call in Nick, send RFC," he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the protocols did use a server in the wave. All mimsy was the FTP and the RGE outgrape. Ja, viele lustige Gedichte. Sonst noch jemand ein schönes RFC? Du hättest noch was Ernstes. Die 7169. Die NSA, no secrecy afforded certification extension. Okay, was davon? Ist lustig in sich, oder was? Certificate Extension. Abstract. Ich lese auch mal den Abstract vor, vielleicht. So schnell kann ich nicht lesen. This document defines the NSA. No secrecy afforded. Certificate extension appropriate for use in certain PKIX X509 pubic key certificates, digital certificates. Historically, clients and servers strive to maintain the privacy of their keys. However, the secrecy of their private keys cannot always be maintained. In certain circumstances, a client or a server might feel that they will be compelled in the future to share their key with a third party. Some clients and servers also have been compelled to share their keys and wish to indicate to relying parties upon certificate renewal that their keys have in fact been shared with a third party. Introduction. Insecurity abounds when clients and servers are unable to keep their private keys private. Situations exist nonetheless where client and servers have shared their private keys with a third party. An example of oversharing might be lawful interception. Just because the private key has been shared does not mean that the private key holder wants to conceal the fact that they have shared their private key with a third party. Overtly indicating that the private key may be or has been shared with a third party is the best way to indicate to relying parties that this sharing has occurred. Knowledge is power, after all. Extensions for certificates, RC5280, offer an excellent mechanism to indicate that the entity's key has been shared. And this document specifies one such certificate extension for use by entities that have shared their private key. The NSA, no secrecy afforded, certificate extension. Security consideration. Having to disclose keys is sometimes unavoidable. Explicitly indicating that the keys have been shared is one way to mitigate the risk that the relying party might be unaware of this overshare. Whatever the case for having shared the key, the certificate signer needs to carefully consider whether to include this extension. Any key with this extension must be trusted with care. lengthy deliberations about whether to trust the keys is necessary. Rushing a security analysis is never a good thing. Ultimately, the keys need not be trusted. Secrecy is hard. Den RFC 1 fangen wir mit dem allerersten an. Ich weiß nicht, ob es ihn gibt. Ich kann mit 0, jetzt habe ich es genommen. RFC 1. Da lädt er ewig. Also RFC 0 existiert nicht, RFC 1 existiert. Vom 7. April 1969. Title: Host Software. Es hat eine Introduction. RFC 1. The software for the ARP-ARPA network exists partly in the IMPs and partly in the respective hosts. BBNN has specified the software of the IMPs, and it is the responsibility of the host groups to agree on host software. During the summer of 1968, representatives from the initial four sites met several times to discuss the host software and initial experiments on the network. There emerged from these meetings a working group of three: Steve Carr from Utah, Jeff Rolifson from SRI, and Steve Kruger from UCLA, who met during the fall and winter. The most recent meeting was in the last week of March in Utah. Also present was Bill Duvall of SRI, who has recently started working with Jeff Rolifson. Somewhat independently, Gerard DeLodge of UCLA has been working on the host IMP interface. I present here some of the tentative agreements reached and some of the open questions encountered. Very little of what is here is firm, and reactions are expected. A summary of the IMP software. Messages. Information is transmitted from host to host in bundles called messages. A message is any stream of not more than 8,080 bits together with the header, its header. The header is 16 bits and contains the following information. Destination, 5 bits. Link, 8 bits. Trace, 1 bit. Spare, 2 bits. The destination is the numerical code for the host to which the message should be sent. The trace bit signals the IMPs to record status information about the message and send the information back to the NMC, Network Measurement Center, or UCLA. The spare bits are unused. Links. So ist das Internet entstanden. Links. Ich fühle mich gerade so ein bisschen dirty hier. So. The link field is a special device used by the IMPs to limit certain kinds of congestion. They function as follows. Between every pair of hosts, there are 32 logical full duplex connections over which messages may be passed in either directions. The IMS place the restrictions on these links that no host can send two successive messages over the same link before the IMP at the destination has sent back a special message called an RFNAM, request for next message. This arrangement limits the congestion one host can cause another if the sending host is attempting to send too much over one link. We note, however, that since the IMP at the destination does not have enough capacity to handle all 32 links simultaneously, the links serve their purpose only if the overload is coming from one or two links. It is necessary for the hosts to cooperate in this respect. The links have the following primitive characteristics. They're always functioning. And there are always 32 of them. By always functioning, we mean that the IMPs are always prepared to transmit another message over them. No notion of beginning or ending a conversation is contained in the IMP software. It is thus not possible to query an IMP about the state of a link, although it might be possible to query an IMP about the recent history of a link. Quite a different matter. The other primitive characteristics of the link is that there are always 32 of them, whether they are in use or not. This means that each IMP must maintain 18 tables, each with 32 entries, regardless of the actual traffic. The objections to the link structure notwithstanding, the links are easily programmed within the IMS and are probably a better alternative to more complex arrangements just because of their simplicity. IMP transmission and error checking. After receiving a message from a host, an IMP partition the message into one or more packets. Packets are not more than 1010 bits long and are the unit of data transmission from IMP to IMP. A 24-bit cyclic checksum is computed by the transmission hardware and it's appended to an outgoing packet. The checksum is recomputed by the receiving hardware and is checked against the transmitted checksum. Packets are reassembled into messages at the destination IMP. Open questions on the IMP software. First, an 8-bit field is provided for link specification, but only 32 links are provided. Why? Two, the host is supposed to be able to send messages to its IMP. How does it do this? Three. Can a host, as opposed to its IMP, control RFNMs? Four. Will the IMPs perform code conversions? How is it to be controlled? Some requirements upon the host-to-host software. Simple use. As with any new facility, there will be a period of very light usage until the community of users experiments with the network and begins to depend upon it. One of our goals must be to simulate the immediate and easy use by a wide class of users. With this goal, it seems natural to provide the ability to use any remote host, as if it had been dialed up from a TTY, teletype. Terminal. Additional, we would like some ability to transmit a file in a somewhat different manner, perhaps than simulating a teletype. Deep use. One of the inherent problems in the network is the fact that all responses from a remote host will require on the order of a half second or so, no matter how simple. For teletype use, we could shift to a half-duplets local echo arrangement, but this would destroy some of the usefulness of the network. The 940 systems, for example, have a very specialized echo. When we consider using graphics, stations, or other sophisticated terminals under control of a remote host, the problem becomes more severe. We must look for some method which allows us to use our most sophisticated equipment as much as possible as if we were connected directly to the remote host. Establishment of a connection. The simplest connection we can imagine is where the local host acts as if it is a TTY and has dialed up the remote host. After some consideration of the problems of initiating and terminating such a connection, it has been decided to reserve link 0 for communication between host operating systems. The remaining 31 links are thus to be used as dial-up lines. Ich weiß nicht, ob noch was Lustiges kommt. Summary of primitives. Each host operating system must provide at least the following primitives to its users. This list knows not to be necessary, but not sufficient. A. Warum nutzen jetzt plötzlich A? Initiate TTY-like connection with host X. B. Terminate connections. C. Send and receive characters of a TTY-like connection. D. Initiate file-like connection parallel to TTY-like connections. Terminate file-like connections and send and receive over file-like connections. Wollen wir gucken, was 2 ist? Wir können einfach hochzählen. 2 geht ja schon mal gut los. Unknown title. Errata exist. Page 1 is missing. Links. Control links. Was geht da weiter? Logical link 0 will be a control link between any two hosts on a network. Das ist, glaube ich, weiter Beschreibung von dem ganzen System. Auxiliary links, manipulation of links. Ah, schauen wir nach 3. Documentation conventions. Wer mag sie nicht, Documentation? Auch schön. Wir haben ja vorhin gehört, wer alles zu den ursprünglichen Leuten von der Entwicklung des Internets dazugehört haben. So Namen wie Steve Carr, Jeff Rolifson, Bill Duvall, RFC3. April irgendwann, 1969. The networking group seems to consist of Steve Carr, Jeff Rolifson, Bill Duvall, and Steve Crocker, and Gerard Delosh. Membership is not closed. The network working group, NWG, is concerned with the host software, the strategies for using the network, and initial experiments with the network. The documentation of the NWG's effort is through notes such as this. Notes may be produced at any site by anybody and included in the series. Content. Entstehung der RFCs anscheinend. The content of a NWG note may be any thought, suggestion, etc., related to the host software or other aspects of the network. Notes are encouraged to be timely rather than polished. Philosophical positions without examples or other specifications, specific suggestions or implementation techniques without introductory or background explication, and explicit questions without any attempt to answers all acceptable. The minimum length for an NWG is 1 sentence. These standards, or lack of them, are stated explicitly for 2 reasons. First, there's a tendency to view a written statement as ipso facto authoritative, and we hope to promote the exchange and discussion of considerably less than authoritative ideas. Second, there's a natural hesitancy to publish something unpolished, and we hope to ease this inhibition. Form. Every NWG node should bear the following information. First, network working group. Request for comments, X, where X is a serial number. Serial numbers are assigned by Bill Duval at SRI. 2, author and affiliation. 3, date. 4, title. The title need not to be unique. Distribution. One copy only will be sent from the author side to Bob Kahn, BBWN, Larry Roberts, ARPA, Steve Carr, UCLA, Steph Rolifson, Ron Staunton, and Steve Crocker. Reproduction, if desired, may be handled locally. Other notes. Two notes, one and two. One and two have been written so far. These are both titled Host Software and are by Steve Crocker and Bill Duval separately. Other note planned are on 1, network timetable, 2, the philosophy of nil, 3, specifications for nil, 4, deeper documentation of host software. Kriegen wir nil her? Network timetable, 4. Security flag, die IPv4 Header. Wie lang ist das? Ah. Okay. 3514. The security flag in the IPv4 header. Abstract. Firewalls, packet filters, intrusion detection systems, and the like often have difficulty in distinguishing between packets that have malicious intent and those that are merely unusual. We define a security flag in the IPv4 header as a means of distinguishing the two cases. First, introduction. Firewalls, packet filters, intrusion detection systems, and the like often have difficulty distinguishing between packets that have malicious intent and those that are merely unusual. Copy, paste. The problem is that making such determination is hard. To solve this problem, we define a security flag known as the evil bit. In the IPv4 header, benign packets have this bit set to 0. Those that are used for an attack will have the bit set to 1. Terminology. The keywords must not, required, shall not, should not, recommended, may, and optional, when they appear in this document, are not to be interpreted as described. Syntax. The high order bit of the IP fragment offset field is the only unused bit in the IP header. Accordingly, the selection of the bit position is not left to IANA. A bit field is laid out as follows. 0E. Currently assigned values are defined as follows. First, if the bit is set to 0, the packet has no evil intent. Host network elements, etc., should assume that the packet is harmless and should not take any defensive measures. We note that this part of the spec is already implemented by many common desktop operating systems. First, if the bit is set to 1, the packet has evil intent. Secure systems should try to defend themselves against such packets. Insecure systems may choose to crash, be penetrated, or the like. Setting the evil bit. There are a number of ways in which the evil bit may be set. Attack application may use a suitable API to request that it be set. Systems that do not have other mechanisms must provide such an API. Adopt attack programs must use it. Multi-level insecure operating systems may have special levels for attack programs. The evil bit must be set by default on packets emanating from programs running at such levels. However, the system may provide an API to allow it to be cleared for non-malicious activity by users who normally engage in attack behavior. Fragments that by themselves are dangerous must have the evil bit set. If a packet with the evil bit set is fragmented by an intermediate router and the fragments themselves are not dangerous, the evil bit must be cleared in the fragments and must be turned back on in the reassembled packet. Intermediate systems are sometimes used to launder attack connections. Packets to such systems that are intended to be relayed to a target should have the evil bit set. Some applications handcraft their own packets. If these packets are part of an attack, the application must set the evil bit by itself. The networks protected by firewall, it is axiomatic that all attackers are in the outside of the firewall. Therefore, hosts inside the firewall must not set the evil bit on any packet. Because NUT boxes modify packets. They should set the evil bit on such packets. Transparent HTTP and email proxies should set the evil bit on their reply package to the innocent client host. Some hosts scan other hosts in a fashion that can alert intrusion detection system. If the scanning is part of a benign research project, the evil bit must not be set. If the scanning per se is innocent, but the ultimate intent is evil, and the destination site has such an intrusion detection system, the evil bit should be set. Processing of the evil bit. Devices such as firewalls must drop all inbound packets that have the evil bit set. Packets with the evil bit off must not be dropped. Drop packets should be noted in the appropriate MIB variable. Intrusion detection systems have a harder problem. Because of their known propensity for false negatives and false positives, IDSs must apply a probabilistic correction factor when evaluating the evil bit. If the evil bit is set, a suitable random number generator must be consulted to determine if the attempt should be locked. Similarly, if the bit is off, another random number generator must be consulted to determine if it should be locked despite the setting. The default probabilities for these tests depends on the type of IDS. Thus, a signature-based IDS would have a low false positive value but a high false negative value. A suitable administrative interface must be provided to permit operators to reset these values. Routers that are not intended as a security device should not examine this bit. And this will allow them to pass packets at higher speeds. As outlined earlier, host processing of evil packets is operating systems dependent. However, all hosts must react appropriately according to their nature. Related work. Although this document only defines the IPv4 evil bit, there are complementary mechanisms for other forms of evil. We sketch some of these here. For IPv6, RFC 2460, evenness is conveyed by two options. The first, a hop-by-hop option, is used for packets that damage the network, such as DDoS attacks. The second, on end-to-end option, is for packets intended to damage destination hosts. In either case, the option contains a 128-bit strength indicator, which says how evil the packet is, and a 128-bit type code that describes the particular type of attack intended. Some link layers, notably those based on optical switching, may bypass routers and hence firewalls entirely. Accordingly, some link layer scheme must be used to denote evil. This may involve evil lambdas, evil polarizations, and the like. DDoS attack packets are denoted by a special diffserv code point. An application evil MIME type is defined for VAP or email carried mischief. Other MIME types can be embedded inside of evil sections, thus permit easy encoding of word processing documents with macro viruses. Security considerations. Correct functioning of security mechanism depend critically on the evil bit being set properly. If faulty components do not set the evil bit to 1 when appropriate, firewalls will not be able to do their jobs properly. Similarly, if the bit is set to 1 when it shouldn't be, a denial of service condition may occur. Kennt man nicht den? Stephen M. Bellowin. AT&T Labs Research. Das war das Evil Bit Security Flag in the IPv4 Header. Okay. Schade. Ich glaube, dann beenden wir das hier doch, oder? Wir können auch Open End machen, also ich kann einfach weitermachen.
So lange bis niemand mehr da ist. Lies einfach alle vor.
Ich wollte eigentlich Nil finden. Ich wollte Nil finden. Philosophy of Nil.
Vielleicht ist das nicht eingereicht worden.
Hier ist ein RFC von Steve Crooker, Conversation with Bob Kahn. I talked with Bob Kahn at BBN yesterday. We talked about code conversions in the imp host communication host software. BBNN is prepared to convert 6, 7, 8 or 9-bit character codes into 8-bit ASCII for transmission and convert again upon assembly at the destination imp. Das ist interessant. Wenn man diese alten RFC liest, was da noch für andere Abkürzungen verwendet wurden. Ja, das ist. Okay, das ist RFC 6, 7. Host-Imp-Interface war auch mal definiert. 8. Ich will Philosophy. Sagen wir, nehmen so ein Format an. 8 gibt's nicht, ist gelöscht worden. 9. 9 gibt's auch nicht. Oh, 10, es gibt, ich habe schon gesagt, mit 3 kam ja schon die NWG Document Convention. Es gibt 10 Documentation Convention. Anscheinend war es nicht so cool, was sie gemacht haben. This note is a revision of NWG RFC 3. Da steht nicht viel anderes drin. Ah. Die hießen damals noch, also anscheinend hat sich mit dem 10er RFC der Name zu RFC durchgesetzt. Also Request for Consideration, Comment for Comment. Und vorher hießen sie NWG, Network Working Group. Und anscheinend hat sich diese Network Working Group ziemlich vergrößert. Also, es fängt wieder an mit, the Network Working Group seems to consist of Steve Carr, Elmer Shapiro and Bill English, Steve Crooker, John Hefner, Paul Rovin and Jim Curry at Lincoln Labs. Membership is still not closed. The content of the NWG note may be any thought, succession, related to the host software, or any other aspects of the network. Hatten wir schon. Jetzt aber. Jetzt. Addresses. The erste leak. Below are the most current addresses I have. Please correct as necessary. Steve Crooker, das sind wirklich komplette Adressen. Kann ich nicht rüberlegen, oder? Ja, ja, mit Telefonnummern und allem. Menlo Park, Salt Lake City, von Steve Crooker, Ron Staunton, Elmer Shapiro, Steve Carr, John Hefner, Paul D. Rovner, Robert Kahn, von dem wurde ja in RFC 5 gesprochen, and Jerry Cole. Ja, das RFC ist vom 29. Juli 1969. Ich glaube nicht, dass die noch da sind. Implementation of the host. RFC 12, 13, was gibt's noch Cooles? Aber anscheinend wird es seit RFC, seit dem 10er, NWG 10, wird es NWG/RFC genannt. Und dann irgendwann hat man nur noch RFC gesagt. RFC 14 ist auch cool. Documentation sagt ja von RFC, dass eine RFC aus einem Satz bestehen darf. RFC 14. RFC 14 was never issued.
Ich wüsste gerne die Geschichte dahinter.
Ja, es gibt, noch, es gibt eine Erweiterung von Coffee. Wir können ja auch mal... Auch cool. The address is the message. Nein, the address is the message. Nee, nee, es geht weiter. 1776. Discussion. Also auch ein, ich glaube, ein Spaß. RFC. Declaring that the address is the message, that IPNGWG has selected a packet format which includes 1696 bytes of address space. This length is a multiple of 53 and is completely compatible with ATM architecture. Observing that it's not what you know but who you know, the IPNG focuses on choosing an addressing scheme that makes it possible to talk to everyone while dispensing with the irrelevant overhead of actually having to say anything. Security experts hailed this as the major breakthrough. With no content left in the packets, all questions of confidentiality and integrity are moot. Intelligence and law enforcement agency immediately refocus their efforts to detect who's talking to whom, and are silently thankful they can avoid divisive public debate about key escrow, export control and related matters. Although the IPNGWG declared there should be more than enough address space for everyone, service providers immediately began vying for reserved portions of the address space. Das ist von Steve Crooker auch. Ja, das ist von 1995.
Thank you.
Ja, das ist, ich habe hier noch ein RFC vom IPv6 Space, aber das ist ein bisschen. Das ist auch nett. RFC 748 von 1978. Vom 1. April 1978. The Telnet Randomly Loose Option. Common Name and Code. Randomly Loose. 256. Common Meanings. IAC will randomly lose. The sender of this command requests permission to or confirms that it will randomly lose stuff. IAC won't randomly lose. The sender of this command refuses to randomly lose. IAC to randomly lose. The sender of this command requests that the receiver or grants the receiver permission to randomly lose stuff. IAC don't randomly lose. The command sender demands that the receiver not randomly lose. Default, won't randomly lose, or don't randomly lose. I.e., random losage will not happen. Motivation for the option. Several hosts appear to provide random losage, such as system crashes, lost data, incorrectly functioning programs, and the like, as part of the services. These services are often undocumented, are in general quite confusing to the novice user. A general means is needed to allow the user to disable these features. Description of the option. The normal mode does not allow random losage. Therefore, the system is not allowed to crash among user files or the like. If the server wants to provide random losage, it must first ask for permission from the user by sending IAC will randomly lose. If the user wants to permit the server to randomly lose, it replies with the IAC do randomly lose. Otherwise, it sends IAC don't randomly lose and the server is forbidden from randomly losing. Alternatively, the user could request the server to randomly lose by sending IAC do randomly lose, and the server will either reply with IAC will randomly lose, meaning that it will then proceed to do some random losage. Garbaging disk files is recommended for an initial implementation. Or it could send IAC won't randomly lose, meaning that it insists upon being reliable. Since this is implemented as a telnet option, it is expected that servers which do not implement this option will not randomly lose. i.e., they will provide 100% reliable uptime. Ja, das ist Randomly Loose von Crispin. Es gibt eine Erweiterung dazu. Telnet Subliminal Message Option. Ich gehe mal gleich runter. Common Meanings, wenn man weiß, was das bedeutet. Will Subliminal Message. The sender of this command requests permission to or confirms that it will display a subliminal message. Und so weiter. Won't Subliminal Message. We randomly lose. Es gibt einen Command zusätzlich. IAC SB Subliminal Message. 16-bit value string. The sender specifies a message to be subliminally displayed by the remote host. If the client has agreed via the standard will, won't, do, don't mechanism to display subliminal message, it must accept the sub-negotiation and attempt to display the message string on the user's console for a specified duration and continue to do so at fixed intervals until another subliminal message sub-negotiation is received. The position and rendering of the message of implementation dependent. The first 16-bit value specifies the duration of the message in milliseconds. It is sent MSB first. The second 16-bit value specifies the frequency with which the message is displayed. It represents the number of seconds between displays and is also sent MSB first. The final parameter is the message itself. As required by the Telnet protocol, any occurrence of 255 in the sub-negotiation must be doubled to distinguish it from the IR character, which has a value of 255. Motivation for the option. Frequently, the use of message of the day banners and newsletters is insufficient to convince stubborn users to upgrade to the latest version of Telnet. Some users will use the same outdated version for years. I ran across this problem trying to convince people to use the remote flow control Telnet option. These users needed to be gently persuaded. Description and implementation notes. The quality of the client implementation will depend on its ability to display and erase text strings in a small amount of time. The current of implementation at CMU takes any account terminal line speed, advanced video capabilities, and screened phosphor persistence when calculating how long to wait before erasing a message. While it is permitted for the client to display the message text inline, best results obtained by printing the message at the top or side of console screen where it will just catch the corner of the user's visual field. A version is currently under development at CMU to display the message using Morse code over the keyboard caps lock LED. Examples. In the following example, all numbers are in decimal notation. Server suggests a suggest and client agrees to use subliminal message. Server sends. IAC do subliminal message. Client sends. IAC will subliminal message. Server sends IAC SB subliminal message 05020 use VMS. The server is suggesting that the user employ a stable operating system, not an unreasonable request. The client should immediately begin displaying the message and should continue to do so at regular intervals. Server preempts previous subliminal message. IAC SB subliminal messages go home. The client should now no longer display the previous message and should immediately begin displaying the new one. The server has messed with user enough for one day. Server sends IAC SB subliminal message 00 empty string. The client must cease display of any subliminal messages. Acknowledgement. We do things just a little sneakier here at CMU. How sneaky? Es gibt lustige RFCs. Ich glaube auch, let's call it a day. Or night. Es ist dunkel.